Message, and sometimes I never know what to call it, but I don't know. It's just something that the Lord's laid on my heart the last little bit, just kind of thinking about it. Again, talking a lot about Israel, and I'll just mention this, is kind of what brought it up. People, you know, when you make posts or talk about Israel and they're talking about how they're God's chosen people, some people accept that because that's what the Word of God says. And it's pretty straightforward, and God didn't choose them because they were good, that they were better, that they had anything to offer Him. They were just chosen because they were few, and God wanted to do something with them. And that's how I see it with us as well as the church or with saved people. God didn't choose any of us because we were good or anything that we had to offer Him. It's just because He loved us, and be honest about it, and small enough that He wanted to do something with. And that should humble every one of us. But I heard people say, the last couple of weeks in talking about things, you know, that Israel, that's Old Testament promises, which God's promises, they don't run out. They don't have an expiration date. When He promises you something, it's there to stand. But then one of the things that somebody said that really caught my attention, he said, God loves everybody. God loves everybody. You know, and what they were trying to get at, what my take is, what they were trying to say was that God doesn't love anybody more than anybody else. And I could see that and say, you know what, I can agree with that. Do you think God loves anybody more than anybody else? Think about it. Now, God, the Bible does teach and say, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. I'll judge who I'm going to judge. But again, He has that choice to do that. But it just really made me think about my relationship or what having a relationship with God is like, what that's about. It really spoke to my heart because if we're all just lumped in together, just one big lump, God just loves us all, which is good, don't get me wrong, but that kind of tells me that we all just have the same relationship with God. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe everybody has the exact same relationship with God. And where I'm going with that is this right here simply. I want to start with parents because we have some that I think can identify that way. But I'll ask you tonight, parents, do you love all your children or do you just love some of them? Wouldn't you say, now you don't have to raise hands or nothing. But no, seriously, I mean, think about it. You love all your children, don't you? If somebody was to line you up and say, okay, which child do you love more? Well, I love them both, but I have a different relationship with, I say both, I have a brother, but I love them all, but there we have a different relationship with each one. Would you not say that? It's easy for me. I have one with Josh, and I love him the most, I tell you. I love him the most, but then when he brought in Sarah, I love her just the same too. It's like having finally the daughter I never had. It's amazing how that works out. But honestly, church, I really put a lot of thought into this and thinking, well, if God just loves us all and everybody just has just just this relationship just like this, then that kind of takes away the personal relationship that I've always been told about. How many of you have friends? Anybody here have friends? Are they all your best friend? What makes the difference? What's there any difference in your friends? Because here again, using kind of the same mentality and thinking about it, what makes any friend, what makes your friends different from one another? It would be your relationship with them. I have a lot of acquaintances. I have a lot of people I know by face. I have some people that I know by name. But when I really start thinking about my best friends, that list gets shorter and shorter and shorter. But why? There's some things that I will tell that short list that I wouldn't tell everybody else. There's a relationship there that's different. They know me probably different than most people know me. I would tell them things that I wouldn't tell anybody else because I trust them enough to know that they wouldn't try to hurt me. They wouldn't maybe try to hold it against me. It's like I've accepted their quirks and they've accepted mine, and it's just special. It's just special that way. And so in thinking about having a relationship with God, I want you to know it's not just like a run-of-the-mill kind of thing. It's not something that just happens. It's something it does take some work on our part. It does take some effort. I don't know if you use the word work or not, but I was thinking along those lines this week, And I was just thinking about this song, and I've heard it, but it's not anything that I remember singing much or anything. But how many of you have heard "Just a Closer Walk with Thee"? That's a pretty popular song. You might not know it by heart like some of the hymnals that we know. But you know, I really believe that is what makes the difference in our relationship with God. That's what makes it special. I know if you've been saved, you know the Lord, okay? I'm not trying to take away from that. Salvation is a personal thing. It's a special thing. And when you accept the Lord, that is just the beginning. That's not the end. It's not, that's all you got to do and then that's it. And you just live your life and then later on in life you go to heaven because you know Him. I believe if you really know the Lord, there's a relationship throughout that entire time of life that you have. I believe that is what makes our relationship, because here's the thing, you think about it. You think about what our relationship with God is going to be like, with Jesus, what that's going to be like once you get to heaven. Our faith is going to end in sight, we're going to see Him face to face. But you know something I really thought about too, church, is I don't want that to feel like an acquaintance. I don't want that to feel like an acquaintanceship. I don't want it to be like that. I want it to be like He knows me and I know Him, because we have a relationship now. It's an amazing thing to look at it that way. I mean, when you look at eternity, you think about it like that. But you think about the faith that we have, the faith that we extend right now, that is going to determine, I believe, the relationship we have over there with Him. Now, if you're saved, you're saved, and just to be there is enough, but don't you want to be as close to Him as you can be? I do. You think about a closer walk, there's a few verses I kind of want to look at, but I was just looking at the lyrics and what it was saying, kind of how it's written. When you look at these songs that are written many years ago, a lot of them have a deeper story behind it that caused the person to write it. Sometimes maybe it was written out of good times, but you know, a lot of these songs are written out of hard, bad times. And it was times that people had to, their experience with God, and then they wanted to share that by way of a song. They wanted to share that. And I haven't did an exhaustive search on this or anything, but just a quick look at where this song came from. They said that it looked to be maybe like a song that many years ago during slave times, that it was a song that slaves would sing because of their entrapment or their slavery, what they were in. And then later on, I believe around the 40s and 50s, it was actually pinned down. The author's not really nailed down so much, just based on it, I guess, the full history of it. But to give a little background of that, it's people who were confined, but their goal, their hope, was to have a closer walk with the Lord. I think sometimes in this world it's a confining feeling, or can be. But this is what the verses say. And I want to read a few verses and then we'll pray. And then we'll have our time of prayer. But it says here, "I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee. Though this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but Thee. Dear Lord, none but Thee. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to Thy kingdom shore, to Thy shore." And I believe what you can see here is a relationship that's starting to shape and take place. But you see, there's a lot of communication here. And I think that's one of the things that really makes a difference. I was talking to the Sunday school class Sunday. We were talking about having a relationship with God and it not just being run of the mill. Spending time and making it a priority to be with the Lord daily. And just really submitting to Him and saying, "Lord, I want what You want," but being willing to follow that all the way through. I think that's what makes the difference in a true relationship with God versus just the run-of-the-mill relationship. When the Lord is burdening your heart, I've talked to a couple of people this week. They said, I think I'm under some kind of spiritual warfare. Something is going on in my life and I don't know what to do. Seeking help. And I'm talking about young people. I tell you, there's a lot that's going on. And I tell people all the time, I say it, stay close to the Lord. And you say, well, okay, I'm going to stay. What does that mean? What do you mean stay close? You know, it's one thing to be close in proximity to somebody, but it's another thing to be close to somebody when you're having fellowship with them. There's times that me and Brandy can be close in the house, but if we're not happy with each other, we're not really communicating. I'm talking about having fellowship. That's an important thing. Again, just thinking about some of the things that we were talking about was decision making. I want to mention this and making a decision. When you're making a decision, when a decision comes your way that you can't sidestep and you are faced that you have to make that decision, what's your biggest fear? Making the wrong one. Everybody in class agreed. Everybody at the same time said making the wrong decision. You know, we're going to have some things in life that we can't sidestep. Just like this young man I was talking to today, I can tell he's in a situation, don't know exactly what's going on yet, but it almost feels like there's going to have to be a commitment somewhere made. The Lord can so trouble you that you get to the place that it's like, Lord, what do you want? I'm not content, I'm not satisfied, I'm anxious all the time. What is it? Why? Why is it like this? That's my understanding, the way the Lord has dealt with me. He makes me uncomfortable when He wants me to do something. When we're just kind of like this, people are just kind of floating along. Well, I don't really need to do something, what have you. But when the Lord troubles you in such a way, that means He wants you to do something. But a few of the words that you look at and you see in these verses, or in these verses, they would be verses to a song. But they're talking about toil, and it's talking about hard times. It's talking about snares. I think that's one of the things that we really try to stay out of. The closer you walk with God, the more apt you are to see snares and want to try to avoid it. If you're not really trying to walk close with the Lord, then you might be off in the weeds a little bit. You might be getting in the briars, and it might even be getting worse than that. You might be getting close to a cliff. That's what happens when you walk away from the Lord. If you're walking with Him, He keeps you away from those things. But you know what the flesh says to us and does to us, especially a lot of times, especially at a younger age, more naive about things and what have you, and just don't understand things, is that people want to go out and just do things and they don't see the harm in things. Physically don't see the harm in things, and also spiritually don't see the harm in things until the Lord starts troubling them, starts waking them up. But there's some things here talking about toils and snares and talking about works. I was looking at Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, verses 8 and 11. And there's something here that 8 through 11, but I thought this was kind of interesting. But it speaks to unity, about working together. When you see these songs, it's talking about it and what it's saying here, talking about the praying to the Lord, wanting to stay out of trouble. If you want to get closer to the Lord, you're going to have to lay some other things down. I see people say this sometimes. They say, welcome people to church, just come as you are. You know, that kind of thing. Well, my thing is, I think you really need to come expecting something from the Lord. The Lord don't just accept us just any old way. And what I mean by that, it takes our repentance. It's not like, Lord, you just take me how I am and you just deal with me. And the Lord says, that is not how it works. You have to meet Him on His terms. Very rarely are you going to have that friendship, that deeper friendship, that both of those people don't come together somewhere and say, hey, this is the terms of this friendship. This is why we are such good friends. See, if the Lord, I'll go ahead and tell you this just so you'll know up front, you're going to have to lean His way. He's not going to come lean your way. He's not going to come and lean our way. But I found this interesting here. You start talking about life and going through life and trying to figure things out. I thank God so much for my best friends growing up that we're still friends today and still talk on a daily, almost weekly basis about things, pick on each other, and it's just like old times, and I love every second of it. And when you can just pick right up with somebody where you left off, I love that, but there's a lot of history behind that. And I tell you, that's why it's important to have a relationship with the Lord like that also. Again here, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 8, it says, there is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, Yet there is no end of his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom I do labor and bereave my soul of good. This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Talking about one working by themselves, trying to just do everything. And I think that's a lot of times one of the biggest problems you have in the workplace. If you feel like you're the only one doing anything, you're carrying the whole load. That's a burden. That's a burdensome place to be. You're going to see all throughout the Bible where it talks about unity. And one thing it really talks about is unity with the church, but also unity with Christ and unity with God in heaven. And that, it's important. And that's, you can't walk in unity with him if you're walking afar off. You got to be close. And I like what it says here, verse number 9. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. It's amazing what two people together can accomplish when they work together. It don't really matter what task. It doesn't matter if it's inside the church or not. The principle applies. I'm thankful I got a good working relationship. And one of my buddies, we work together so good. And it just seems like we get things done. You see things that need to be done. And there's not like all this why. We just do it and get it done. We know what the mission is. The closer you get to God and you surrender your will to him, the more you're going to understand what your mission is. And that saves a whole lot of time. Instead of pulling one way and him trying to lead you another, if you know what the mission is and you surrender to him, he's like, you just follow me. That makes things a whole lot simpler. Think about being yoked together with the Lord. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And I think a lot of times that's exactly how the devil wants you and I to feel. He's like, oop, you just fell. You just fell. Now you're by yourself. Nobody has ever experienced what you're experiencing. Nobody has ever had the hardship and trouble that you're having. You're all alone, buddy. You're all by yourself. Aren't you pitiful? And you know what you start saying? Boy, I am, yeah. Well, I am pitiful. Let me tell somebody how pitiful I am. And that's kind of a state, if we're not careful, where you can stay. You can stay there for a long, long, long time. And I'll tell you what, you're not walking close to the Lord if you're like that. If you're staying in that state. Don't you think the Lord would pick you up if you fail? The Bible teaches us, and it plainly says, I will not utterly let him be cast down. I will lift him up. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about his own. He don't let his own people just lay there and just wallow in it. He might for a little while, but he don't want to leave you there. Even the part of the son, he came back home. The prodigal son, if you remember that. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Again, you'll see this a lot of times being read at weddings and what have you, talking about coming together with the Lord. The three cord is not broken, threefold cord is not easily broken. But it's important to see the work of coming together. Proverbs 29:25, it says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. See, all these things direct us back to the Lord. Of the fear of man. And you can see that maybe a couple of different ways. Maybe the fear of what another man can do to you. The fear of man bringeth a snare, bringeth a trap. A lot of times in our mind, I think it's a trap. But then also the fear of a man, the fear that you have, just the fear built in of yourself bringeth a snare. You hold yourself back. We hold ourselves back so many times, but I don't think God wants us to be that way. Once he's cleared the path for you and me, you and I, to go somewhere to do something, all he is expecting us to do is walk that path. Go. Go. What are we waiting on? Go. And you see the second part of this verse, it says, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. If you're afraid of making the wrong decision and you're walking close with him and you're praying, Lord, please don't let me make the wrong decision, he's not going to let you. He's going to guide you. Now, he might teach you some things through it. I think a lot of times what we will learn through processes like that is that he is trustworthy and we can trust him. And he's not going to let us fall and falter. He's not going to let us do that. That's the next word. I find a lot of interest in this word here. Falter, that means to hesitate. It also means, I wrote a couple of definitions down, and falter means to fail or to hesitate. I think hesitate's one of our biggest problems as Christians today. Hesitating, waiting on somebody else to do something when God told you or me to do it. Well, why are we waiting? What are we waiting on? And I looked up this word and just kind of looking at a couple of things in the Bible, but I was looking at 1 Kings 18:21. Now, if you go back and you think about Elijah and everything that was going on there, you remember the prophets of Baal. This is one of the most exciting accounts I've ever read in God's Word. And every time I read it, Brother Bill, it's new every single time. And it never gets old. He's going to wear them out. And I can see it coming. It's like a favorite TV show or something. He's going to wear them out again. But look what he says. Look what he says here. And it says, and Elijah came unto all the people. See, everybody was standing by and they were watching. It's just like today. Everybody's standing by and watching their sides. There's divisions and everything. People are waiting to see what's going to happen, wanting to know what's going to happen next, especially with Israel, Iran, Ukraine, Russia, the United States, Putin and everybody, Trump, everybody's wanting to know what's going to happen next. Everybody's watching. But everybody's trying to figure out which side they want to take. Some people say, I don't like Israel. Some people say, I'm going to stand for Israel. You see how that is. But it says here, and Elijah came to all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. But look at what the last part of this verse says. And the people answered him, not a word. Now, isn't that something? That's, I think, where a lot of people sit today. They're just, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to choose a side. If I go all in, and then the Lord doesn't answer my prayer or doesn't do things the way I thought he was going to do it, then I'm going to look foolish, so I better be quiet. I don't want to offend the other side. I don't want to offend the world, so if I go that route, then that'll offend them. And then if I stand up for God, it'll offend the world, and it's just people kind of just hesitate. And I tell you, hesitating is not a good thing to do when God has told you to do something. We should never hesitate on God's word. Think about that. If God has said something in his word, should we ever hesitate on it? It's already done. Think about faltering. It's talking again. I find this very interesting. Elijah, I think, found himself by himself a lot here. He was discouraged. He was down and out. I mean, this was probably one of the greatest things that happened in his life. And right after that, he was fleeing for his life because of all those, all the prophets and that were after him and all the things that were going on there. And he found himself in a cave. But this is something that really spoke to my heart today. How long ye halt between two opinions? If you've prayed about something and the Lord gives you peace to do it, just do it. Do you think that the Lord is going to let anybody fall that steps out on him? What kind of true God would do that to his loving children? And you say, well, okay, we're talking about friendship. We're talking about walking closer. I believe the closer we walk with him, the easier and more apparent some of these things are going to be in our life. I think we're hesitating sometimes, church, on things. There's no hesitation, no hesitation at all. Just do it. There's some things you don't even have to pray about. You know, God said to do it, and we just do it because he said to do it. Hesitation when the Lord, I'll use this as an example. A child maybe in a tree or something like that, and they can't get down, and you have the parents standing there saying, hey, jump down to me. I'm not going to do it. It shows a lack of trust. But you think about that, you throw your arms up, and before you can get your arms all the way up, that child's jumping out. That means they trust you. And I believe with all my heart, that's the relationship that God wants to have with you and me. I believe that's the relationship that makes a little bit of difference. See, the thing about it is, God wants this relationship with everybody. I don't think he just goes around picking and choosing, saying, you know, I like you better. So I'm just going to do this because I like you better.
I think the offer stands to every Christian that's ever been, and I'm talking to us here tonight and today. I think the offer stands for you to have that relationship with Him that He wants you to have. All you have to do is reach out and take it. So, preacher, why are you even talking about all this? I don't know how many times in the last few years I've heard people talk about a lack of interest, having a lack of interest. I don't feel His presence like I used to. I don't feel that anymore. I don't feel Him like I used to feel Him. I don't know what's going on. Let me tell you a secret. It's not Him. It's not Him. I promise you that. Why would a loving father turn his back on a child that is coming to him and saying, I want to have the closest relationship I can have with you? Why? It just doesn't make sense. I don't believe it. I don't believe that it works that way. I don't believe He is that way. And he says here again, if the Lord be God, if you are convinced that He's God, go ahead and proclaim it. Go ahead and proclaim it. Go ahead and be all in is what Elijah was saying here. And he actually gave the other side an out. He said, but hey, no shame in it. If you want to go with Baal, go with Baal. Go all in. Whichever way you're going, go all in. I'll caution you, I'll say, make sure you're going the right way before you go all in. I'll tell you that. But that's what he was saying. But I was so surprised when you read that. People didn't take sides. They said, and the people answered him not a word. They didn't say anything. They were afraid. They didn't step out. That's a sad state when nobody's just going ahead and proclaiming God. But again, it talks about being satisfied. In that song, he was talking about as being close to God, I'll be satisfied. Psalm 107:9, it says, For he satisfy the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. So when you stop and you see satisfied, that means to be content. If you're not content with your relationship with the Lord, I just want to use the word anxiety. That's what a lot of times, that's what people use. People say, preacher, I just have a lot of anxiety. I don't want to take medicine. I don't know what's going on. If I have to, I will. But they mention things like that because medicine's in an abundance. Trial medicines are in abundance. I mean, anything for anything is out there. But I tell you, I think a lot of the problem is not having that close relationship with the Lord. I believe that. Medicine has its place, and I'm not talking against it. I'm not saying that. But I think if you really want to get down to the heart of the matter, I think a lot of it is simply not having that closer walk with the Lord. But what he's saying here, for he satisfieth the longing soul. That tells me if I don't have the relationship with God that I'm supposed to have, I'm not longing for it. Brother Allen, I'm not desiring it. I'm filled up with something else. I'm thinking that I can handle things on my own. I think I can provide on my own. I think I can do on my own and all these kind of things. And people float like that for a long time until they get to a situation that they can't handle things on their own. Then they have to do something. Then panic mode sets in. What do I do? What do I do? And it's like, somebody pray for me. Let's go back and try that. But you think about wanting a relationship with God when nothing bad is happening. You just want a relationship with Him because you love Him anyway. Not because you feel like He has something to offer you in that moment just because you need Him in that moment. But this is like all the time. You imagine if your child comes up to you and they just want to be with you and they're not asking for anything. It's not Christmas time. It's not birthday time. It's not this toy time that just came out. And I'm like, they just want to be with me just because they love me? That's special. You think about what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He's deserving of our love all the time. Who wouldn't want to be close to Him all the time? All the time. For He satisfy the longing soul, and He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. You know, that's when you have a desire. When there's emptiness, I think there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians walking around feeling empty. And the reason I say these things is because people come to me and say these things. It's real life examples. And I get it. I've been there. I get it. I understand to a degree, maybe from my point of view, how people can feel. But the Lord is saying here that He'll fill the hungry soul with goodness. He will fill it. If you're walking close to Him, He will fill it. again, talking about being close. I'm going to close here in just a second. But being close, one of the biggest verses that jumps out in my mind is James chapter 4, verse 8. Everybody here could probably quote it. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. That's about as simple as it gets. So, well, if it's that simple, then why isn't everybody doing it? Why is it not coming naturally to people? Why aren't people coming together with the Lord more? Why is that fire not there more? Why is there not more excitement? Why are people saying, I'm losing interest? Pray for me, I'm losing it. Why? Why? This is exactly what I see here in the Word of God. One of the things about it is, if there is iniquity in your heart, God's not going to hear you pray. He's not going to hear me pray. If there's forgiveness that needs to be extended, that person is not extending it, He's not going to forgive. So we're kind of stopped until some of those things are fixed. That's what the Bible says. I think one of the biggest things lacking and biggest things holding back a relationship with God simply is this: repentance. People not willing to repent. People buy into this, God's just going to accept me any old way kind of thing. Does He love you? Yes. But is He going to accept your sin? No. Absolutely not. He takes sin so serious, He allowed Jesus Christ to go to the cross because of it and die for it. That's how serious sin is to Him. Now you take your child parents and you let him die on a cross for that. How serious are you going to take it? Are you going to let somebody just halfway come in any old way? It doesn't work that way. God does not work that way. Does He love you? Yes. But you have to meet Him on His terms. So what does it look like to draw nigh to God? I've thought a lot about that this week. What's that look like? You maybe start praying. And not, maybe there's some uneasiness, like there's a block there. Well, that's usually, I think, sin or iniquity. Something's in there, it's got to go. If it's sin, it's just got to go. You say, well, I want that relationship. Well, you let your sin go. Well, I don't know what my sin is. Yes, you do. I can probably tell you this. If you're like me, when you start praying and you start saying, Lord, forgive me for my sins, you don't have to say if I ever committed any. I think they're right here. I think the Lord makes it that apparent to us. I don't think the Lord is going to say, I want to have this relationship with you, and then I'm going to hide what keeps it from happening. He's going to bring it right here. He's going to say, now, are you willing to do something with it? So what do I do with it? Well, if it's something that's perpetual, that keeps going on and on and on, number one, you stop. You say, Lord, please forgive me, and you stop it. That's what repentance is. It's a turning, not a 360. But a 180, you turn from it. If you really want to get the heart of God, whatever that is, you stop that and you surrender that to Him, He is going to listen to your prayers. I promise you that. He's going to hear you. See, a lot of people, I believe, kind of are in this just kind of on the acquaintance side of things, and they're not willing to get across that hurdle. When you start being willing to lay down the flesh and what the flesh wants, and you start having self-control and you start pushing the flesh back so God can have more reign, watch out. He'll take it. It'll change your life. That's when that's the beginning of having a deeper relationship with God. What is the one prayer? You think about this. What is the one prayer that a lost person has? Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me. It's that important. If it wasn't that important, everybody could just pray about anything. See, you have a relationship with God, you got to make sure things are right. I believe there's also forgiveness. When the Lord says, if somebody, you need to forgive somebody, then the Lord is saying, do that and come back and let's have this relationship the way that I want it to be. I'm going to close with this. Psalm 145:18. It says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. That's very straightforward. But the second part is what ties this all in together. You got to read all the verses. You got to read all the context. You got to put things together when you read it. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. He is close to them. All that call upon him, and then it goes on to say after the comma there, it says, to all that call upon him in truth. And the thing about the Lord is, he knows if you're being truthful or not. You can't hide things from him when you pray. It's already there. You think about talking again about this relationship that we can have with our friends. If you've been around your best friends for a long time, they know you. They know you. They know you're really good. Your parents know you. Your friends know you. Your friends probably know what your parents don't know about you. Some of those things, you know that. But I'm going to tell you this, in your heart of hearts, there's still some things your best friends don't know about you. There's still some things in there that you wouldn't even want your best friend to know about you. Because you don't want to hurt that relationship. You don't want that to falter. You don't want that to be messed up. But just know this. When you're talking about having a relationship with the Lord, he knows all that. He knows every hesitation you have when you pray, every hesitation you have when you're trying to make a decision, why you don't step out maybe when he's wanting you to step out or asking you to step out. He knows all of those things. And he still wants to have that relationship with you anyway. It's amazing to me, just thinking about what all that the Lord has done for us, and how it is. I tell you this, you know, do I long for heaven? Yes, I do. I do. And I've heard it said, and I believe it, the older I get, the more I want to go. Had a conversation with a friend today that family's been sick, and father passed away, found out that his mother's sick, and it's just a hard situations. And we're talking about, you know, you do get to a point in life that you absolutely have more invested in heaven than you do here. And there's more of a draw to go there. And I get that. But one thing, I want you to take this as serious as you can. The one thing I think we need to be focusing on as a church is having that kind of relationship with the Lord now, because what it requires now is the one thing that pleases him most, faith. See, when the prophets of Baal, all these people that were standing by when they're afraid to say anything, and they hesitated. I don't want to choose sides. I want to wait and see who wins. Then I'm going to pick sides. Well, see, that's the neat thing about this for you and me. If you believe that, if you believe the Word of God, we know God wins. Why not go ahead and be committed to Him now? I mean, this right here, heaven is the place to be. That's the end result if you're saved. Eternity is the end result, period. Heaven or hell. But you think about what it's going to be like. All these things here, if you maintain that relationship, that close walk with God right now when it feels like everything's down and out, how precious is that going to be when you get to heaven? I tell you, he's going to say it was worth it, wasn't it? Wasn't it worth it? Didn't I tell you I was going to take care of you? I was going to look after you and take care of you? Didn't I tell you that? I tell you, if we could just get glimpses of heaven every now and then now, I think it might boost us up a little bit here. I get excited about it, church. I'm not Pentecostal or anything. I get excited, and I think that's okay. I've seen a few folks get excited around ball games and stuff like this. This is a lot better than any kind of ball game I've ever been to. This is life and death we're talking about here. This is true victory. And we get to be as best friends as we want to be with the one who gave us that victory. That excites me. I'm going to stop there tonight. I'll stop right there. Does anybody have anything they would like to add?